Welcome to Third Eye Science. I'm your host, Susan Bontoon, and on this podcast, we will be exploring the lines between science and spirituality. As a scientist and a yogi, I've found that these two realms do not have to be mutually exclusive. With the perspective of a logical scientist, I've navigated my own spiritual journey with a curious, open mind. I'll share lessons and tools I've found along the way and have compelling conversations with spiritual leaders, teachers, yogis, healers, and fellow travelers about their experiences and practices. In this age of information and misinformation, it's time to interpret and understand the world with your third eye. Hello and welcome to Third Eye Science. Before we get into the episode, I want to share my next class series coming up starting this week, Quantum Nourishment. So on Mondays at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, July 10th through the 31st, so 4 weeks, we'll be coming together on Soul Tribe Online. If that time doesn't work for you, all of the classes are recorded and saved, and you can watch them in the class archive. And this series, we're really going to focus on nourishing our soul through the quantum field. The quantum field is an energetic state where we can access all time and space through yoga, breath, and meditation. We can enter a state of consciousness where all limitations, separations, judgments, and expectations are released. And from this awareness, we can heal and be sustained by our true essence. In this series, we'll practice techniques to help you bridge the gap between the known and the unlimited potential reality. This space of stillness, love, and beingness is deeply nourishing and expansive all at once. Let's dive down the rabbit hole. It's going to be really fun and deep and profound. So please join us. You can find the link in the show notes, and you can also find it on my website, thirdeyescience.com. And I also want to add that this is the last call for our retreat to Costa Rica, August 5th through 12th with Carrie Armstrong. I'll be guest teaching. It's 7 nights, 3 meals a day, Kundalini yoga, live mantra music, power yoga, and restorative yoga classes, all in one. It's going to be really, really fun. We have a few more spaces left. If you are interested, if you feel the call to dive in with community, go deep into your own spiritual journey and do so with like-minded people and get to do it in person in a magical place, this trip is for you. So you can check out the link in the show notes and sign up. It's going to be really, really beautiful. I just can feel it. So let me know if you have any questions. You can always email me from my website or DM me on Instagram. And thanks for listening. Now we'll get into the episode. Enjoy. Hello, welcome. Welcome to anyone who is new for the first time listening to this, and welcome to all of you who are returning listeners. And I want to say how grateful I am that you keep coming back and that you keep listening and that you're receiving this energy. It's all, everything that I do is intended for the highest good of all, and that you receive exactly what you need. So when you're listening and something doesn't resonate, that's okay. You can let it go. And then receive what you need and what resonates for you. Maybe one little thing. That's what happens to me when I listen to podcasts. I find that my soul, my spirit guides guide me to exactly what I need to hear in the moment. And then the other thing that's interesting is you can receive the energy of this, because this really is an energetic transmission. It's not just me talking. And then it can activate within you at a later point when you are ready for it. So it's really quite magical. As you know, I've been really, if you've been listening to the podcast these last few months, I've been diving into the magic and the delight of the all that we get to experience here as human beings. And so what I want to share about today is how we can nourish our body and our soul at the same time. Because I've been talking a lot about embodiment and really getting into the physical body, the presence, so bringing the spirituality back into the body. And now I want to talk about expand that into how we can experience things and do practices that will nourish both your body and your spirit. And really, it could be anything and everything. And it's as long as you listen to your inner guidance, your inner compass, your spirit guides, your intuition. Because we all have all of the wisdom that we need within us. It's a matter of, it's like locked up and kind of buried deep down because of all of the conditioning and programming that we've gone through in our lives as humans from day one. Even I just got back from a trip to the East Coast visiting my family, and I was talking to my mom about epigenetics, and she had never heard of it. And I was explaining how it's like, because she has this thing about food, like she would never waste any food. And I completely support that. I agree that it's bad to waste food. We don't want to waste food. It's an environmental tragedy that we have so much food waste in our world. And I'll also say that watching the generations, like my parents and then their parents, and especially my grandparents' generation, is really, they were like the post-depression, post-war, there we can't waste anything. They experienced food rationing, and you know, it's part of their human experience, and they pass that down to my parents, our parents, if you're around. If you're Gen X and you have a baby boomer parents, they don't remember, you know, they weren't alive during the Great Depression and they, or yeah, most likely, but they don't remember post-war. They were born. That's why it's called baby boomers. It was after World War II. All of the soldiers came home and started having families, and that's why it was a baby boom. And so my mom is slightly younger than the, well, whatever, these generations are sort of arbitrarily 20 years long. And anyway, so she was saying how, yeah, so we had this pita, I'm going to give you the specifics, these pita breads that my sister had gotten for me. They went to this Mediterranean place and she got me hummus and baba ganoush and tabbouleh and pita. And that was the day before I arrived. And now a week later, the day I'm leaving, my mom was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with this pita. I'll just sprinkle some water on it and then put it in the toaster. And that's how you make stale bread not be stale. And I was like, okay. And she learned that from my oma, my father's mother, my grandmother, who was German and moved to the States in between the wars, World War One and Two. So she experienced, yeah, the like, I can only imagine what it was like to be in your teens and 20s as you're experiencing these world wars and being in Germany where it's like, you know, the reason the Nazis rose to power was because Germany was in shambles after World War One, and they were able to leave and come to the US and start over. And but they still had this, of course, they, you know, probably very just living day to day, doing what they could to establish themselves in this new country. And so, of course, they had all these techniques for preserving and never wasting anything. And my mom said, and her parents, I'm talking about my dad's parents, but her parents also, you know, went through this. They were already in the US, but they experienced, they're older than my dad's parents, and they were, you know, young adults in this time period, and did, as children and teenagers, experience the Great Depression. And so it's definitely part of their genetic makeup. It becomes ingrained in the system, in your body, and then it's passed on. So even before my mother was even born, she had that in her. That's not to say you cannot transcend these, this kind of conditioning. You 100% can transcend all programming and conditioning. And what epigenetics is about is that you have these genes in your system. This, the medical community, medical research is really learning about how many diseases and health conditions can be inherited, but it is your environment is what turns the genes on and off. So you have these genes, say you have the gene for breast cancer or other things, that does not mean that you are going to have the same medical conditions as your parents and your ancestors. You can change your environment, and that includes, so that's your body, that's your environment around your body, but it's also what you nourish your body with, the stress and situational environment. So what is you're experiencing in the world contributes to that. And also your mindset. If you decide that you're going to get cancer because your mother had it, then you're probably going to get cancer. And that's not to say that anyone who did, who had, any of you who have gotten some horrible disease, that it's your fault. I'm saying this so that you can expand your awareness to like, oh, I could heal this. You can. And it is really a journey that you can go down of like really releasing these limiting beliefs that have been installed, pre-installed. It's like a computer program. They were installed in your hard drive before you were even born, and then you're born, and then it's reinforced because your parents believe it. And so all of these things can happen. So I was explaining that to my mom, and she was like, she just was listening and was like, And I told her, I was like, you know, this isn't woo-woo hippie Susan telling you this. This is science has done a lot of research. And, you know, what I have observed is that many of the scientific discoveries that are happening are things that yogis knew for thousands of years, and they just knew, right? And that's hard to help other people understand. They don't want to just take that for as true. So if you can nourish your body and your soul, you can do so through spiritual practices, through embodiment practices, many of the things I've been talking about over these last few months, like movement, yoga, meditation, for sure, all of those things. But like, it can be, what do you love to do? What does your body love to do? Where do you feel the most yourself? That's the kind of thing that you can be connecting with first, asking yourself and really diving into, what does my body want to do? Play is a huge, huge part of this. Like, we get so serious as adults, and we get into our habits, and we stop just being spontaneous and having fun and allowing ourselves, our bodies to just move however they want to, and allowing them to lead. This is something that children do innately. It's like, it's so fun to watch. If you watch kids at a playground, you know, little kids, or even at home, just doing like self play with them, you know, they make games up and they allow their imagination to guide them. It's so beautiful. And that's not to say that I'm telling you to like play with Barbies or Star Wars figures or whatever toys you used to play with. What I'm saying is, what things can you do in your life that feel light and help your body feel really present? So it could be rock climbing or, you know, because that's something that you don't, I mean, something like running or cycling or swimming is, it's like exercise. I guess it depends on how you approach it, right? If you just really try to have more fun. That was something that was a big part of the Born to Run book that I read a few months ago. It's the main message that came out of that in the media was like everyone should be running in bare feet, which was not what that book was about, by the way. But it was really about how we are the shoes that have been, that is now this huge industry, are making us move. And then all the things that we do in our lives, like sit all day long in front of a computer, are making our bodies move in ways that aren't actually natural. So allowing yourself to rewild, that's a big thing right now, movement and mobility. And I'm reading another book called Built to Move. I'll put it in the show notes. That is really interesting because they're really talking about things you can do throughout your day that allow your body to just expand the mobility so that you're not, so that you can move in ways that are more natural and allow your body to have the longevity. I don't know about you, but I want to live a long, I know I'm going to live a long life. I want to live a long life, but I want to be healthy the entire life. I do not want to be an old lady that, you know, has to walk super slow and has trouble going upstairs and has trouble sitting and standing. And I'm a yogi. I sit on the floor constantly. Like, I cannot have a life where I can't sit on the floor, right? So these are all aspects of a life for me that is in alignment with my soul. So ask yourself what, you know, the other thing I will say that I think is something that all of us could, whether you're artistic or not, or create, or, you know, you consider yourself creative, is like making stuff. The way kids draw, you know, and some kids just love to draw. Some kids love to build stuff with Legos, right? They might be more engineering minded and they like to build things. And then other kids, I was definitely the kid who was drawing all the time, coloring and painting and all of the things. I just loved it. And I'm sure there was some creative act that you did as a child that really allowed you to explore all of that. And maybe there's something that you could do now as an adult that would bring you back to that feeling. So these are all, and you know, the other thing about being back east with my family is that my family, we play games when we're all together. And I love playing games and I never play games except for when I'm with them. And I'm just like, this is kind of funny. Yeah, my family was always, we always played games my whole life, like growing up. So I'm talking like board games, card games, all sorts of things. My one sister and her kids are a little bit younger than the others, and we're just playing constantly. But even when all of us are together, we're talking like 10 people game of Uno, you know, or cards. There's a cards against humanity that are that's for family edition, and we're playing that with 10 people. And it's just so fun. The funnest part of that game was just how delighted my nephew, the 11-year-old. It's like the family edition version of that game is made for sixth graders. I'm just saying that. If you don't know about it, check it out and you have kids that age. he just the way he would laugh and just have just it was so funny. And then also in Uno, how the boys, the older boys, are like ganging up on their dad. And I mean, and it's all in a fun, you know, it's fun. It's like no one's being mean, but it's, and it just provokes the kind of laughter that you don't get when you're not in that play mode. So this is nourishing the soul. It's nourishing the body because it actually is. It is amazing for you to laugh, even to smile. It turns on the genes. It's like, it's good for your epigenetics, turning on genes that are health, you know, health inducing for you. It also just really starts this whole chemical stream of hormones and endorphins that really are so nourishing for you in your body. And then it's nourishing to your soul because you're experiencing this human experience in a way that these beings of light, they don't get to do the stuff we get to do. They don't get to move their bodies the way that we do. They actually, like, that is something. There are many souls in the cosmos that want to come here and be human. I know that sounds hard to believe because of the, like, complete chaos that we live in right now. We're in this transition and all eyes are on us. Like, the cosmos is watching us because we are transforming this planet. We're transforming humanity, the collective. And if you can be you, not the you that society is telling you to be or your culture thinks makes you think you should be, if you can really be you, that is exactly what the soul desired in coming here. Yes, you have a mission that's probably a bigger, kind of more big picture, like, I'm here to create this, or I'm here to connect to this, I'm here to be this. But you also are here to be human, to connect with other humans. That is so important. It really is what ignites the light within us and amplifies it even more. So when you really, so also you can nourish your soul through meditation practices. And I highly encourage you all to do that if you aren't. But I don't want you all to think that you have to be in this deep state of meditation to nourish your soul. You're nourishing your soul by being you. And we also can sit in meditation and do practices that give us that sense, that remind us, oh, I'm a being of light that is eternal. And that really shifts perspectives too. It helps for me. My experience has been, it really has helped me see the big picture. And so in the moment when someone's doing something that, you know, triggers me, or when there's a situation that's triggering some old rejected part of me, or, you know, the inner child that is not feeling loved and seen and acknowledged, I can, instead of reacting, I can sit with it, acknowledge it, be with it, and know that that's what's happening. And then that happens less often as I continue to go through these processes and heal more and more parts of me. It's really incredible to allow yourself the space to sit in silence and observe. It, for me at least, has been like there's no way I could have done any of what I've done in my life without it. In this last decade especially, it's just so critical to my expansion was, number one, being willing, right, to sit in the discomfort. Like, okay, I'm desperate enough to want to shift something. And then being able to remember, have these really magical metaphysical experiences that allow me to remember all that I am. Because you're so much more than this body, this human form. You're an eternal being of light. So it's important to remember that, and to remember you are human and you are meant to be human. If you're meant to be a yogi in a cave and being in that state of transcendent samadhi all the time or a huge percentage of the time, then you're probably not even listening to this podcast. Or I can say 100% not listening to this podcast. So you who are listening to this podcast, you are a human who is meant to be in the world. And what I have embraced, what I'm learning more and more, and what I'm embracing, learning to embrace and integrate into my system, and by system, I mean body and energy field, is that I get to be both. I am a spiritual being and I am a human and I am a science communicator and I am a content manager and I am a marine biologist and I am a deep sea biologist and I am an animal lover and I am an ocean lover. I am all of these things. I am a creative and I'm now a leader at work, like physically a leader at work, a mentor. And I'm a yogi. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a meditation teacher. I'm a podcaster. I'm someone who loves to meditate and do yoga. And I love mentoring people in both of those spaces. And I can do that. I can be both. Because when it comes down to it, we are everything and nothing all at once. Like because that's the nature of the cosmos. We are one and we are also the identity. You are you. And we're all connected. Oh, the neighbor just started his motorcycle. Sorry about that. So if we can really expand our willingness to be all that we are in that moment, that is so nourishing to the soul and to the body. and to the collective. Because it reminds the people around you that they get to be themselves as well. Okay, he's driving away. We get to be ourselves. And we get to allow others to be themselves. That's the other thing that I've really found meditation in observing myself and really getting honest with myself about all of my what one might call flaws, all of my tendencies. I have way less and even my judgments towards myself. When I can have compassion for myself, then I can have compassion for others and I can allow them to be themselves. And I don't have to be reactive to the people and the situations around me. Because one thing that's I've found to be true in all my life experience is that other people's stuff, their reactions and their actions, it has nothing to do with you. It's about them. Just like yours has nothing to do with anybody else. It's you. So you have to take responsibility for yourself. And when you can do these, all of the things that really align and feel true for you, then you can focus on you and stop being so judgmental about other people. All of this is a process and I am continuing to work on it. And I'm sure other people around me have said that I have observed how I have changed over time in this process. I am not as reactive or emotional or all of the things that I used to be before. I mean, I'm super emotional, but in a way that is true. That is connection. It's like I get emotional because I'm so connected, more so than before. I was emotional because I was in a trauma response. So that is what I'm offering you to contemplate for the week, for the month, for the year, for the life. Whenever you hear this is exactly when you are meant to contemplate it. Thank you so much for listening and for being on this journey with all of us. Thank you for incarnating and becoming a human at this moment. You did so for a reason and for many reasons, but it's really important for you as an individual to dive into what am I here to do and to allow yourself to be in your human experience. So with that, I will say thank you. I love you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. The Ho'oponopono prayer is something that I've been really connecting with lately, and we are also practicing it in the mornings on Soul Tribe Online. If you're interested in an online community that you can engage with in your own home, go into these spiritual practices in community, in your own home, and in your own timing, then please join us on Soul Tribe Online. And please rate, review, subscribe, share this podcast, this episode with a friend, a loved one. And that I would be so grateful if you would do that. Let's all continue to expand into ourselves in both body and soul, nourish and really remember who we are. Thank you so much. I love you. Have a beautiful, beautiful week. Satnam Namaste.